Part 5. The Goblet. High up in the castle courtyard, the king and I played a game of chess, using his servants as life-size pawns, rooks, and knights for his amusement. "A king deserves a king-sized game," he would say. Although between you and me, he had no idea how chess was played. I think he just enjoyed watching people do his bidding without question. Nevertheless, his brown-nosing barons applauded every move, despite his profound lack of strategy and ignorance of the rules. Just behind the castle garden's threshold, the princess prepared Cola for an audience with the king.
"So let me get this straight. You want me to what? Dive down and just have a look around?"
"Yes, sir. You must be my eyes. We have to explore every possibility for what might be the cause of the strange things happening at sea."
"And you think the answer is at the bottom of the ocean?"
"I do not know. All I know is that there is no harm in trying, and you are the key to knowing for certain."
"So what's the catch?"
"My father, the king, is stubborn, and he will not listen to just anyone. Even if you do find something, in his eyes, you will just be another superstitious fisherman. You must earn his attention, and the only way I know how to do that is through his fondness for games."
"So I'm supposed to be some kind of court jester?"
"You know the sea, and I know my father. Together we can help him listen to reason. All I ask is that you trust me."
"Lead on, princess."
"Thank you, Nicola. Follow me, and do as I do."
"Her Highness the Princess, and her guest."
"Your Highness, welcome back. I don't believe I've had the pleasure. Signore..."
"Jacobo, this is Colapesce."
"Colapesce? Cola the fish?"
"It's just a nickname."
"Che bel nome."
"Thank you."
"Jacobo Mastacci, falconer and poet at your service."
"What's up, Jacobo?"
"Cola could very well be our only hope, Jacobo. I will need your help, persuading the king to follow my charade."
"I am your humble servant, princess. Right this way, Colapesce." The three of us stepped forward amongst the barons and baronesses and bowed deeply, not once, not twice, but three times, as was the custom before addressing his eminence. Cola snickered, and I elbowed him gently in the side.
"Ow!"
"Altezza, my lords, the princess and Colapesce."
"Daughter, what exactly have you brought me?"
"Un dono, a gift, padre. I present to you Cola the fish."
"Cola the fish? Well, he certainly smells like one. But he looks more like a man to me."
"Oh, he is much more than he appears. He is a performer unlike any other."
"I have no interest in actors."
"Do not worry, father. He is a terrible thespian. But he is one of the great marvels of your kingdom. Yours for the taking, if you so choose."
"What do you mean, his for the taking?"
"Don't worry."
"A great marvel, you say?"
"I would. Isn't that right, Jacobo?"
Indeed, your highness. He is a one-of-a-kind collectible, you might say. I've heard many tales of Colapesce's remarkable, skill."
"Such as?"
"Perhaps your highness and his guest would permit a brief demonstration from the man himself. What says your majesty?"
"Very well. Show me."
The king and all of his barons emptied from the courtyard and followed Cola and the princess down to the royal shipyard. Everyone gathered near the water's edge. I myself was anxious to see this Cola the fish live up to the promise of his name.
"Let's make it a game, shall we?"
"Ooh, a game. What sort of game?"
"It is a game of fetch, your highness. Toss something into the sea, something valuable, and Cola will recover it for you."
"What a curious pet you've brought me, daughter. Cola the dogfish, more like.
Oh, remarkable joke, Your Grace.
I've been known to turn a phrase or two. Now, what shall I throw?
Whatever you wish. He is yours to command, Altezza.
Cola bristled at the way these royals spoke of him, but he kept his mouth shut. The king sipped the last mouthful of wine from his goblet and was struck with an idea.
Cola the fish, do you see this royal cup? Go and fetch it for me.
The king's golden goblet sank beneath the waves.
Off you go.
Colapesce fixed his cap tightly around his head, and with a running leap, plunged into the sea. And Nicola began his search for the king's chalice. Far away, and many leagues below, at the bottom of the sea, in what strongly resembled the king's palace courtyard, dozens of undersea citizens mingled and rubbed shoulders, or fins, as it were. There were opulent octopi, swordfish soldiers, parrotfish politicians, starfish celebrities, and stabled seahorses that chewed on their bridles of kelp. They were exchanging rumors about strange happenings at sea when the assembly was interrupted by a goblet. It glittered as it fell to the seafloor, and all craned their necks to inspect the intrusion. Out from the shadows of the courtyard strode the shepherd of the sea. All the ocean dwellers bowed deeply as he walked along the seafloor, much like you or I would on land. He wielded a trident like a walking stick, and his cloak of seaweed swept the corals behind him as he moved. He picked up the goblet and beckoned a familiar yellow fish forward from the company of lordly sea creatures.
This shall be our proving ground.
Do you think he's ready for this?
We shall see, my yellow friend. You know what you must do, yes?
I do. But does it have to be him?
He is the only one who possesses the strength we so desperately need.
I'm scared for him.
As am I. But she cannot have her way, and we are running out of time.
Right. Right. Shall we begin the trial?
When you're ready.
Okay, lay it on me. Wait. This won't hurt, right?
You'll be your old self in no time. Trust me.
The cloaked figure touched Lumi's brow, and a powerful spell began to work its magic. Lumiuni transformed into a gigantic leviathan that pulsed with a pale luminescence. His new monstrous body boasted rows of hideous fangs and bulbous glowing eyes. Illusion complete, the shepherd placed the goblet into Lumiuni's gaping maw and faded into the murk of the seafloor. With the goblet glittering atop his terrible tongue, the sea monster yawned and settled into a deep sleep. Kola had never been to this part of the trench before, but he knew the goblet had to be around here somewhere. He floated through the ancient architectures that were strewn about, now claimed by countless corals and anemones. Then he saw the goblet, in what looked like the mouth of a cave. With a grin, he swam to retrieve it. He squeezed his way between rows of tooth-like stalagmites and stalactites on the floor and ceiling of the cave's entrance. The floor was squishy beneath his toes, and he could feel a rhythmic breeze wafting from the belly of the long tunnel. He stepped forward and bent to lift the goblet from its resting place. Kola tried to escape, but with a single bite, the monster swallowed Nicola whole. Further and further he slid down into its gullet, its heartbeat growing clearer and clearer as he drew closer and closer to becoming a meal. He struggled against his fate. He had to do something, and quickly too. But what? Then, Kola remembered. Drawing his father's knife, Nicola cut his way from inside the beast with one fell swoop. With a groan, the monster withered away. Lumiuni was his old self again, and darted away to hide from Kola's sight. The sea monster had carried Kola quite a distance in such a short time, and he struggled to get his bearings. He turned his eyes towards the faint sunlight that flickered far above him, when the rays were obscured by a swirling black smoke. But was it smoke? That seemed impossible. When there's smoke, there is surely fire. And how could fire burn underwater? But nevertheless, the broiling clouds made Kola's eyes burn. He searched for an escape when he saw something shine through the darkness. But this wasn't sunlight. This was something down even deeper in the sea. Perhaps this was what the princess was after. Perplexed, he swam to get a better look. It was a colossal pillar, a column, or the remnants of one. So grand in scale and construction that it put the king's palace to shame twice over. It smoldered like embers. Unconvinced that something could burn underwater, he reached out to touch it and recoiled when the searing heat proved otherwise. Then something glided past Kola that made him jump. It was a dead fish, burnt to a cinder. Then he saw the rest of them. Thousands of blackened fish floated on the tide around him like puppets with their strings cut. He was reminded of the day his father was taken from him. He could not bear the sight any longer. He kicked and clawed his way upwards. He shut his eyes against the sting of the smoke. He shut his eyes against the image of the fish. He shut his eyes in prayer, hoping that he would never see anything like this ever again. Somewhere, in the unseen depths below, Lumiuni and the shepherd smiled.
Such courage.
I never doubted him for an instant.
I must speak with him.
What can I do?
Stay by his side as you always have, old friend, and show him the door when the time comes.
I wish there was more time.
As do I. But in truth, his story is just beginning.
Has anyone ever told you that you're mysterious?
No. Why?
No reason.
At the royal shipyard, the princess was wringing her hands, my falcon flapped her wings, and the king tapped his foot. When Cola finally broke through the water surface. All was quiet for a moment. Until Cola lifted the goblet into the air for all to see. His Majesty was so delighted that he shoved me aside to hoist a soaked Cola Pesce onto the deck himself, ruining his fine robes with sludge and salt water.
Ooh, well done, my boy. Truly astounding. However did you find it?
Just lucky, I guess.
Good dog. Here's to the first of many games. Salute!
The king raised his cup in celebration and rejoined the throng of tickled barons. The princess pushed her way through them to steady a reeling Cola Pesce.
Cola!
Princess!
Are you all right?
A column.
A column?
I saw...
What did you see?
I saw...
But before Cola could answer, he collapsed.
Troppo acqua ti fa diventare un pesce.
Oh, Messina, Messina, un di tu sarai meschina.
Cola woke with a start. He was lying in his bed at home. His mother sat beside him and patted his face with a damp cloth.
Mama.
Shh. The princess is here. How do you feel?
Tired.
You said you saw a column?
Yes, it was crumbling.
And fire?
No, only smoke. And a monster.
A monster?
I barely made it out alive.
Did you see anything or anyone else?
No.
You have to tell people.
Tell them what? You said it yourself. No one will believe me.
I believe you, because I saw it too. In a dream. I would go down there myself, but I cannot.
And do what?
I am not sure.
I've done enough for you and your father. What have you ever done for any of us? Nothing. You have no idea what it's like out here. We've all lost so much. We don't matter to you or your family.
You are right. And I will never forgive myself for that. But that's also exactly why I am here. Maybe there isn't much I can do on my own. I don't know if I can ever make a difference. But I would like to try. I am so sorry we have neglected you for so long. Sicily is nothing without its people.
I'm afraid, Princess.
I am afraid too. But whatever is lurking under Messina cannot be ignored, as much as my father thinks that that will work. If we continue to do nothing, then nothing will change.
So what should we do?
The king will not let us take his ship if we tell him what we are up to. My father will do anything to entertain and impress his court. I've got an idea. Do you trust me, Cola?
I suppose I can try.